Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be starting off this dynamic week talking about something that is extremely important to all of us. It's money. The green stuff, the silver stuff, the copper stuff, no matter what description you want to give to it. It is something that makes literally the world go round. And my guest today is going to be sharing his knowledge and expertise with us. But this, in a way, is for those of you that have kids, too. This is a book. It's called Climbing the Money Mountain. Now, I think it's great for adults, but by golly, if you've got a young person in the family and you want them to be savvy, this book is really good. I want to welcome Randy Lauren to the show. Randy, we're delighted to have you today.
Hi, Donna. Really good to be here.
Well, it's a subject that everybody's always interested in. Of course, I think people today have a lot more gray hair about the subject matter than they did maybe a year ago. But we are in a very changing world. You have a real passion about assisting young people, but I want my audience to know that your background is in business and marketing and personal finance. And you have your undergraduate degree in marketing from Michigan State University and your MBA from Nova University. And you, while you were in college, worked for the Lauren Snyder Marketing Company, which is a family-run marketing firm. And this firm, in fact, helped to develop the Martha Stewart line for Kmart, which has been quite successful.
That's
and
correct.
Working with Martha Stewart to build her into a household name for products, home products like towels and linens and that type of thing. You've been involved in the banking and healthcare industries. You also worked for one of the world's largest global medical firms, and you were given a President's Club Award for sales excellence. You decided you were going to go into business for yourself in 1996. Obviously, you had a background that was very supportive of that. And you offered financial services to people. You became a certified identity theft risk management specialist, as well as a certified credit report reviewer. And you work for an international investment firm as an advisor. You like to speak to groups, but you really have an attitude and a drive to educate the younger generation. I want to ask you a question, Randy. Why is it that you decided you wanted to focus on the young people when there are so many mature people that need help, too? Why is it you wanted to go to the youth?
Well, it's kind of funny because I have two teenage daughters. And I went to my oldest, who was graduating high school, and mentioned to her that I'd like to sit down and speak to her about money matters. And she looked at me with this dumbfound look and said, "Oh, my God, you're going to lecture me." And I said, "I don't want to lecture you. I want to just talk to you." She said, "Put it into a letter, and I'll be more than happy to read it," kind of jokingly. And I said, "Well, what if I write a book for you? Will you read it? And will you help me with it and come up with the ideas?" And she said, "Sure," thinking that I would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually my motivation because I've been on an advisory committee in South Florida where I live on one of the school boards. And I've always asked the high school students and the college students also, "Do you learn anything about money matters in high school or college?" And believe it or not, 9 out of 10 of the teens says they're motivated to learn about money. And this is, I believe, a Charles Schwab study. 9 out of 10 teens said they were motivated to learn about money, but only 20% report that they were even taught about money by their parents or by their school. And it's a passion that I have about making sure, it's kind of my mission now, to make sure that high school and college students are prepared for the personal financial choices they make as young adults and how it'll impact them down the road with their future wealth and success. So my daughter, both of them, I've got one now who's 20, one who's turning 18, and they've kind of helped me kind of spearhead this whole campaign. And I'm going to try with all the passion I've got to try to get money or financial, you know, responsibility classes taught in high schools and college campuses around America.
This has been an issue that I think for many generations has been a very difficult one. For the women in the United States, and I won't speak for other countries in the world, but for so many generations, women were not supposed to understand money. Well, more women are involved in business than ever before.
Oh,
and
very, very so.
This is something where business is what keeps economies running. This isn't something that the government's doing. It is those entrepreneurs, those people that are on almost like a 24/7 schedule in all lines of work that are going to be able to provide employment so people can have incomes. And understanding how money works, really, it's amazing how many people, even professional people, don't know how it does work. They don't understand it.
A lot of people do not.
And you just go, excuse me, you've got a doctorate in XYZ and you don't know about this?
It does happen a lot. I've had some of the best minds and most educated people that were never taught about money. And, you know, it goes back to their youth. They were never taught in the home. They weren't taught in school. They went through life and they're kind of throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping that things work out right. But as we see right now, my generation, the baby boom generation, which, you know, 70-some-odd million of us, really didn't do a good job of teaching our kids.
That's the truth.
And now what we have to do is we've got to make sure that our kids, this millennial generation, this generation born between 1980 and around 2000, get the education, because they're really going to have a lot of challenges going forward. If nothing else, this economy today has shown us that us baby boomers really didn't plan very well. And they, now the young generation, have this opportunity to learn from our mistakes. And I think that they could be that, what I call that generation that will save America from, you know, financial issues. I mean, they're walking into a situation where there's $11 trillion in national debt. And this generation is going to have to find a way to get, you know, to build their careers and to save money so that they don't have to worry about when they're 65. The worst thing to do is be 65 or so in your retirement years and have to worry about whether you want to buy food or you want to buy medicine.
So, well, that's bad at any age, period.
That is. And you know how financial stress can really impact one's health. What I'm trying to do is get the young people to, as they move from high school, as they go into college, they learn about credit cards, they learn about the good things that credit cards can do for you and the bad things it can do to you.
Now, go ahead. One of the things I wanted to mention, I wanted to interject. For those of you listening, we're talking about youth right now, but so many people do not understand certain basics. And I want to interject something. You give a lot of tips for young people, but this is even for adults. You have in here, avoid check cashing stores. Now, I've known people that run these businesses, and there are so many adults that will go in that don't understand. The honest to goodness, they said, well, yeah, I know they have a fee, but they don't realize that when they use the check cashing stores, and if you're a college student, this is even more devastating, because you're not going to have a whole bunch of money unless you've got a real wealthy family that buys everything for you, which is few and far between. But they will take a substantial sum out of that paycheck. What is the average amount that when somebody goes in and cashes a check at a cash checking check cashing store, how does that amount in general charged?
You know, it depends where it's located, but it can be, you know, a few percent. It can be a large amount. And the problem comes in if somebody's paying, you know, they're writing a check for $100 and they're only getting $9 back or whatever the amount is. I mean, that's a lot of money to give up. And the problem that I'm trying to avoid this generation, this millennial generation from you know, finding themselves in, is credit And, you know, it doesn't take a lot if you start young and to avoid these pitfalls that, you know, many other people have found themselves in. Start young, avoid the cash checking stores, open up a checking account at a bank. There's a lot of banks, for instance, that offer free checking.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, shop around to find a bank in your community or in your, you know, in your city or in your, on your college campus nearby that offers free checking to young people. Ask them to explain what a debit card is and how it's used regarding in relationship to a checking account. This way, they won't have to go to the check cashing stores. They'll have a bank. They'll have a checking account. They'll be able to get to know their bank tellers, their bank savings counselors, their bank managers, and it can really help direct them in the right way. The problem is, so many young people, like you said, go to cash checking stores. They get that first credit card that the credit card companies give to them, and they rack up sales. You know, they buy, go to the movies, go to dinner. They just start charging, and they don't think about, hey, I got to pay this back. And they often get charged 18% or more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to say, if you get the right tools in high school, if you get the right information throughout college, and even if you start younger in middle school with the parents or in some way with the school, they won't have the problems. They'll start saving money when they're young, and they have all the time in the world for that money to compound and build and build and build. The problem is we've gotten into a society where we've leveraged ourselves so much, we've borrowed, you know, so much money. I mean, to give you an idea, 32% of college students have four or more credit cards.
Ouch.
Ouch is right. And the thing is, and the average debt from a college student right when they graduate, not including student loans for that, is like $4,100. And 85% say they have at least one credit card. I talked to a young person recently. They got a credit card. Credit card company gave them $1,000. They racked up $1,000 in charges, and they didn't pay the credit card. Where do they think that's going to go on? It's going to go on their credit report, but they don't really understand what a credit report is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, one thing I'm trying to explain. You know, we all need credit because that's how we buy homes, we buy cars. So we need credit. We need to build the credit. But if you start out not paying, you know, getting that little credit and not paying your bills and not understanding it, you're at a disadvantage right when you get out of school. So I'm trying to really educate all the young people out there just how to start off right and give them kind of a financial guide, a roadmap on little things that are going to come up throughout their life that can make them really grow into financial independency. And that's what it's all about.
You have a quote here, Randy. Your successful climb up your money mountain will give you many opportunities to choose what kind of person you want to become. For instance, reliable, hardworking, goal-oriented, ethical, socially responsible, or politically involved. Well, I know many of the people who are listening to the show today would say, wow, we sure have got a lot of examples in this country that just are exactly the opposite of that. We are going through a cycle, which is not unusual in history. This isn't the first time it's happened, where people, because of poor ethics, because of thievery, have cost the income balances of many mature individuals in a big way. So a younger person maybe has been listening to the news and they hear this, they go, well, why should I bother? Well, let's give them some facts to work with. And those of you that are moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, whatever level you might be, if you've got a youngster in your environment, they need to know a few facts, and Randy, I'm quoting directly from your material. Education makes a difference, and this is how much of a difference it will make. If someone has some high school education, they haven't gotten their high school diploma, but they have some high school education, the median annual income is about $26,277. Now, if they get a high school degree, Their average income is about $35,725. If they get an associate's degree, it goes up a chunk by $44,404. When they get their BA, it's $57,220 on average. Master's then jumps a leap to $71,530 a year, and a doctorate is $82,401. So education really makes a difference.
It makes not only a difference in your income, it also makes a difference on often and how often you will be find yourself unemployed. You have a better chance of remaining employed throughout your life with more education than you do without. And the one startling statistic is that there's about 30% of high school students that do not graduate,
mm-hmm.
do not graduate on time. And this is something that really needs to be changed, because this is the future of America, the future of America business. And if we have a lot of students not graduating, it certainly doesn't help the economy or our country. So it's really, really important that one goes, gets a high school degree. If they want to go on to college, they do so. If they want to learn a trade, in one of the trade schools,
mm-hmm.
that's great too, because not everybody's college bound, and I realize that, but you've got to, whatever you're going to do, just be the best that you can be at whatever activity, whatever job you have, because that'll help, you know, throughout life. And the problem is, and I think you mentioned it, in the book I talk about role models. You know, our role models haven't been always that great, and it's to this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to look at who we choose as a role model. And I'm hoping that changes. And I, you know, again, my daughters helped me with this book. Their friends helped me with this book, come with ideas. And I've tried to give information that was important to the student, to the high school and college student, not to me only. So I tried to really talk about things that they want to know about, like identity theft. And that's something really important.
Oh, let's go into that, because
okay.
that is a big deal. And this is an area of specialty that you deal with on a regular basis.
Well, I talk to kids, and it's funny. When I talk to the students, and first thing I ask is, how many of you share your passwords with friends or, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, or that? And believe it or not, most of the hands go up. Most of the hands go up. They share. Even my kids admitted they've done it before. And I say, we're talking, you know, how the Facebooks of the world and the MySpaces, if used improperly, if you put too much information on, it could come back and create somebody stealing your identity. The other thing I talked to them about, you know, when the first kind of time in high school where they really think they're kind of independent is when they start to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them, what do you have in that glove box in your car, if you have a car? And they don't really think about it. But there could be a sales receipt for the car that might have a Social Security number on it, either theirs or their parents. It could have insurance cards with names and home addresses and different things. Just because you have that information doesn't mean you have to keep it in your glove box. Hide it someplace else in the car if you ever need it. Then I also ask them, you know, if you have a purse or a wallet, what do you keep in it? It's amazing, not only kids, but what adults keep in their purses and wallets. More, you know, if they have credit cards, you know, they may need one or two. They may have, if like a lot of college students, four or five. They don't use four or five, but they may have them in there. They
mm-hmm.
may have their Social Security cards in there. So I try to talk to them about really protecting their identity, because 9 million Americans lost their identity, became a victim to identity theft in 2007. 9 million.
That's a huge number.
And the Federal Trade Commission estimates that it costs consumers about $50 billion annually in costs associated with identity theft. And if you lose your identity, depending on severity, it may take up to 600 hours of your hard work to fix and, you know, get the things taken off your credit report and everything. So I just really encourage the kids, think about what information you're sharing. Think about how you can protect that information. If you have a bank account and you're getting bank statements, shred the statements after if you don't need them, or bills. A lot of them just throw it in the garbage. And mm-hmm. then, you know, somebody can pick the garbage. And it happens a lot more than we realize, because a lot of these financial institutions, a lot of these companies will, you know, if you become a victim of identity theft, it's a cost of doing business and they write it off. But it's so important, because maybe it doesn't affect the business as much, but it affects the individual that it's happening to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really want to encourage, identity theft is a growing crime, and you got to protect yourself as best you can, and that's hide the information. Don't keep in your phones all your passwords for your different Facebooks or MySpace or different websites that you visit, because if it's in your phone and you lose your phone, then somebody may have access.
Mm-hmm.
So I it's just something I'm real passionate about. I want to make sure that, you know, the youth today watches their information very, very close.
Well, for a lot of the adults that are listening too, I think it's a significant thing to be aware of. So many times we get so busy that we don't think about the fact that there are those individuals, that's their life's work, is to figure out how to take from other people what's not rightfully theirs to take, and they will do it.
Unfortunately, there are, and you do have to watch it, online. I do a lot of stuff online, and pay a lot of my bills online, and you can protect yourself. It just, you don't, you know, the companies really do a good job of protecting the data. It's, the problem is, you've got to be safeguarding that information yourself. And so it's not discussed in schools. It's not talked about at all. And I want to make sure that when the kids, you know, go from high school to college or go into, you know, their adult lives, they're aware of it. They're aware of the credit cards issues, the good and the bad. They're aware of protecting their identity. And, you know, we talk about role models and different things. But it's really important. And all the Climbing the Money Mountain is basically a financial guide helping them to prepare for, you know, things that they're going to experience throughout their life, whether it's renting their first apartment or whether it's, you know, getting a mortgage or buying real estate. It's just information. Or buying a car,
mm-hmm.
Their first car, showing them how to save money. I mean, I know when I bought my first car, Donna, I was probably like a deer looking into headlights.
Mm-hmm.
All I could see is my face reflecting from that car. I didn't think about it. I'm already picturing myself driving up into the driveway with it. I didn't really think about so much what I was paying for.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, I give them the ability to really know how to save a lot of money as they buy cars. And a lot of people have written me, and even adults, who read that chapter and says, oh, my gosh, I saved, you know, thousands of dollars buying a new car. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to give them little tools on budgeting and, you know, how to prepare a budget.
Well, as I said, your book is excellent, even for adults. But for young people, what a wonderful thing for a family to sit down with your book. And I think it's wonderful to know that your daughters were involved in putting this book together, because you were getting their perspective. And these are things that are important. And talking about the world economy, globalization, investing, and a lot of people will say, invest in what? What are you going to get a return on? Well, of course, if you decided to do property, yes, we have difficult times right now, but that doesn't mean you don't think and don't realize that there are those opportunities to generate income. And there's things that you can do, and saving those dollars is very important. But I can just hear some people saying, you want me to put my money in the banks after what's been going on? You've got to be kidding. What would you say quickly in our few minutes that we have left regarding investing?
Well, I think if you start young, Donna, and you start in your 20s, or maybe even you start in high school, or even before parents work with their kids and talk about it. If you start investing young, whether it's in you start from the bank or have an investment account and buy a little mutual fund or buy stock, I have a lot of clients just buy individual stocks for their kids when they're young. They see it grow. Just keep adding to it. Don't worry about it. Once you start working, just have it taken right out of your account. You know, a lot of companies have programs like 401k plans or that for long-term investing. Just keep putting it away month after month after month. A little bit. Granted, when you're young, you're only going to be able to put a little bit away. But if you don't see it, it goes right into an investment account. It will grow so much over time. I mean, I know people that never made very much money. They were always, you know, in that, like, for instance, maybe $50,000 a year most of their career. And they have a couple million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saved and they never looked back. And they got through 35 years of work and can really retire in comfort what they want to do. Problem is, the baby boom generation, for the most part, hasn't done a very good job of planning for their retirement. And I really think that now it's a time for the, you know, young generation, Generation Y, it's millennials we call them, to really start planning long term. Don't worry about it. We don't know how things, well, you know, we're in a recession right now. We know the one thing that 31 past recessions have shown us, there's a beginning and an end. There's no reason to believe this one won't end either. But the thing is, you got to save. Don't worry about the ups and downs. Just go long term. Invest long term, and you'll be okay. Doesn't mean you don't make, you don't just walk away from it. You do have to watch it, and you have to plan based on your age and your risk tolerance. But if you just start when you're young, you have years of compounding of that investment, and you will be well on your way to financial independence. And whether we go through an economic downturn like we've experienced, it won't matter. They'll be just fine. And if they do ever find themselves unemployed, they've got money to get by until they find a new job.
It really makes a difference. It really makes a difference.
It really, really does. Financial stress is nothing that you want to have, and unfortunately, a lot of people have it today. And I think the one thing that we can learn from the baby boom generation, the young people, is that planning for long term really makes a lot of sense. And you know, just watching the credit card usage, planning against identity theft, you know, knowing your investment companies, your banks, getting to know people, and you know, investing long term, they'll be fine. And you know, Climbing the Money Mountain, they can always email me. If they go to climbingthemoneymountain.com, I'll answer all emails. They can get the book at Amazon or any of the bookstores, or they can order from, you know, my website.
Mm-hmm.
But anything I can do to help this generation, that's what I'm trying to do.
Randy Lauren has been my guest today. This is a man who's deeply involved in the world of business and finance, and he has a mission that he wants to really see grow in a special way, and that is educating our younger people. But you know what? You can't educate other people unless you're educated yourself. So if you know of a family that's got young persons in it, you'd say, gee whiz, they need to know about this Climbing the Money Mountain. Give them the information. Encourage them to go to the website, because with your family, what a great way to become involved in not only bettering the knowledge of the younger ones in the family, but also for you as an adult to be able to have an insight into how your life can be better too, even if at this time you may be out of work or you're dealing with some challenging times. What better opportunity to spend a little in your moments of wondering what can you do in educating yourself. You'll come out ahead if that's the case. Randy Lauren, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate your being with me, and I wish you the best. And thank your daughters for being involved, too, because I think it's great.
It was really helpful to them, and I hope people learn from the book, and I really appreciate the time you've allowed me to speak today.
It has been a delight. Randy Lauren has been my guest again, climbing the Money Mountain. Hey, it's not going away. Why not learn how to climb that Money Mountain? Get Randy's book. It's good information. Straight, direct, and to the point. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call me and chat with me directly, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free number worldwide that you can call in to. The number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, you're going to be hearing every day the ad about the Washington Ren Fair. And for those of you who are listening from the state of Washington, where I am broadcasting from, by golly, this is an event. It's coming up in August. It's the first 3 weekends in August. And I've known the people that have been putting this event together for a number of years, and it's a delight to be able to interact with them. And this year, we're going to be at a new location, the Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington. And if you'll go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com, that's WashingtonRenFair.com, you'll see photos, you'll find out about all the different people that are participating, and there's just so much to look forward to. But I have something else to add. If you would like to have a free family pass, then I want you to send me an email. Better yet, why don't you call me so I can get these tickets out to you? There's a few that are already gone, so I've got a few left here, and I would be delighted to send one so that you and family can go and enjoy this wonderful event. And remember, it's 3 the first 3 weekends in August. So give me a call at my office, which is 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. Or send me an email and put in the subject line, the Donna Sebo Show, and say free ticket or something that's going to let me know that this is what it's all about, because I get so many emails and I have to go through so many of them. So it makes it easier for me to spot it and respond quickly to you so I can get you that free pass. So again, that's the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair free family passes that I have here. Give me a call or email me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I'll be sure to get it off in the mail to you. Donna Frank has a delightful poem. I'm looking at this exquisite photograph of all of these fresh vegetables, and she's a gardener. She said, lush and budding greens, a little white fence lining, lettuce, peppers, cherry, tomatoes, a crisp summer salad, and mint for sweet tea. The soil is moist and cool on my fingertips, the joys of a summer garden. Ah, yes, nothing more wonderful than being able to go out into your own garden, especially if you're having fabulous weather like we have ended up having here in the Pacific Northwest. It's just been incredibly gorgeous. And the plants, the tomato plants, are just exploding with yellow blossoms. And within just a short period of time, those delicious, succulent, red, beautiful gems called tomatoes are going to be there ripe for the picking and ready for the eating. And, oh, they are just absolutely wonderful. They're so unlike what you will get in the store that's been gassed, and it looks pretty, but it has no taste. It doesn't have any flavor. So when you can have your own garden and do what you need to do, it is just absolutely wonderfully exciting to be able to pull it out and have it all fresh in your own fixins for your summer meals. You know, I was talking with someone not too long ago about how our grandparents, it was really a big deal about women working during the summer months, and they would, most of them grew up on farms. My grandmother, who lived to be 92 years of age, she had a farm that she grew up on, and of course that was women's work, was the canning. And summertime wasn't playtime for the women, it was hard working time. You know, we complain when it gets a little bit warm. Can you imagine being around like my grandmother was? She was born in 1900. Having to wear long skirts, they weren't allowed to wear pants. They had to wear long skirts. They had to do all of their work in these long skirts. Yuck. Very uncomfortable. And, of course, then, too, they had the thing with the corsets that we had to wear. Ew, that's hot stuff. But anyway, we're out on a farm, and you have to make sure, because they didn't have freezing at that time available, they didn't have the conveniences that we have since been able to enjoy as a society, and farms out in the middle of Timbuktu Charlie Land, if they have electricity, they're able to utilize these wonderful things where you can freeze your foods. There's flash freezing. Well, at the time, the only way they could keep food preserved was by canning. And that was laborious. And I was talking just this past weekend with people that we were sharing stories about how our grandparents had told us how the women, they'd have assembly lines. They'd set up, you know, you had to clean the vegetables. You had to make sure that everything was done in a certain way, and there'd be those that would measure things out. And then you had your cooking pots that were often put out on the grounds of the farm. And they'd build fires, and they would cook the vegetables to a certain point. Sometimes it was meat, and then they would put it in the cans, and then they would have to be boiled so that nothing would become tainted, so you didn't get food poisoning. And everything had to be sealed just so. It was a laborious process. And I know my grandfather built for my grandmother a basement large enough to hold enough food for an entire winter season. They lived in Virginia. And at that time, they had some pretty severe cold seasons every winter. It's not so bad anymore, but it was when their life experience was going on. And you had to prepare. You really had to think of how much you were going to fix. And if your crops didn't come in, your family might go hungry. So it's interesting to study history, I think, and to look at all of the wonderful changes that have evolved. And I say wonderful. I like my vacuum cleaner, my washing machine, my dryer, and I really appreciate my dishwasher. So I am a spoiled modern woman when it comes to those wonderful appliances, but I don't apologize for it. I had someone sending me some information about, gee, hang your clothes out on a clothesline. I've done that. Been there. Have you ever pulled in clothes that when you're looking at it, all of a sudden you find a pile of bird poop that's on your clean clothes? Oh, well, I'm waxing poetic, I guess, but it's just one of those things. We need to really sometimes sit down and look at how people's thinking and innovation have enabled we women to be able to not have to wash sheets in bathtubs or in big basins and spend 2 days doing ironing and all this other stuff. It's amazing. I really appreciate the ingenuity of the men and women that have made life so much easier because of the development of equipment and machines. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, again, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's the telephone number to call in if you'd like to chat with me. And remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'd like to know what city and state you're calling from, too. That's always of interest to me. And then let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you can ask me any question you so desire. If you are a person that has a concern of maybe being unemployed, or maybe you have always wanted to have your own business, well, having a home office requires a different type of a discipline, maybe, than going to work every day where you're in somebody else's space and you've got somebody else's materials to work with. But if this is something you really want to do, you need to be aware that there are some tax situations that you have to consider. You have your home office deduction on your federal tax return that you can utilize. However, if you're self-employed, you have to qualify for that deduction. And they really went through some changes a few years back relative to it. So to qualify for a business deduction, if you're thinking of having a home business, if you want a home office, you've got to use part of your home, obviously, for that, and it has to be used exclusively and regularly as your principal place of business or on a regular basis for certain storage use, such as inventory, product samples, rental property, or as a home day care facility, you know, something like that. Now, there are two words that are really important. Those words are exclusively and regularly. There's a tax advisor, he is a national tax advisor, his name is Keith Hall, and he said, this is so important. The IRS means exactly what this says. So many people that have home-based businesses have no problem satisfying the regular requirements. They're in their home office at all hours of the day and night. I mean, that's just it. It's totally utilized. Now, there is an exception to regular use, and that would be that person who only works from home part-time and rarely uses the home office space. The exclusive use requirement, however, is going to be sometimes for people more difficult to meet. Now, this is what the IRS means by exclusive. It means that the specific area of the home is used only for trade or business. So if you have a baby crib or a guest bed in the room that you use as a home office, or a TV and a console where your kids play video games, the IRS person would say the room would not meet the exclusive use test. Similarly, if you had, let's say, your dining room that you used occasionally to do your paperwork or make phone calls to clients, or if an attorney is working, let's say, in their den writing legal briefs, these would not likely qualify for a home office deduction either. Why? The dining room is used by the family. It's used for other things. Kids are doing their homework there. This isn't something that's used all the time. The den? Well, you have parties. Mom and Dad come over and visit. Or you have the neighbors over. And it's not specifically for that. So, you can take certain steps, though, to qualify for the deduction. If you've got a little apartment, and I know of one gal that started her business out of a corner in her bedroom. She had a one-bedroom place, and she was able to utilize that particular area of space, and her assistant would come in and use that area of space in the bedroom. She just didn't have the money for anything bigger, so she used what she had, and that's okay. They say, if possible, simply take the non-business and personal items out of the room so that you're using it exclusively for business. And if your home isn't large enough to devote an entire room, like this gal, just take that portion that is. And you just move your furniture or other items around and partition off a part that you do use as an office, as this lady did, from the non-business area. And assuming that both the exclusive and regular use requirements are met, almost any type of home-based business owner can qualify to take the home office deduction. So just a little bit of tax information there that might be helpful to you if that's something you're wanting to explore in these changing times. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. I thought I'd share some fun stuff with you today. These are just some little bits of trivia that I just came across that I just could not pass up. And, you know, for those of us that are always watching the waistline, reading details like this just absolutely is almost, it's just amazing. And we wonder, gee, I wonder if I could have a bite of that. How about a cake that was made in Las Vegas? Now, this was done in 2005, and it really set some records. It was a celebration of the centennial of Las Vegas, a giant birthday cake. It was baked. It measured 102 feet long, 52 feet wide, and 20 inches high. It weighed 130,000 pounds. Oh, that's a lot of cake. And 34,000 pounds of icing. And do you know what they figured out? Exactly how many calories were in it. Yes. Wrap your mind around 23 million calories in that cake. Whew. Unbelievable. Also, there was a cheddar cheese process that was recorded, put in on the internet, and more than 1.5 million people will sit and just watch this. Now, this is a film on cheese maturing in a storeroom in Western England. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have to watch that, you must not have very much going on in your life. And do you know, people all over the world are always looking for something to do. They have to be so totally, totally bored. There were 3.8 tons of chicken meat that 250 students in Malaysia worked with, creating a kebab, one kebab that was more than 1.25 miles long. Yes, it does make you wonder, why? I guess people are always wanting to set records, always wanting to do something different. I'm a tea person. But it just absolutely amazes me that a German company made a tea bag that was 11 by 8.5 feet in size, and it contained more than 22 pounds of tea. I wonder what they did with it. They give these details, but they don't tell you what they did with the stuff after they made it. Of course, I know what the cake in Las Vegas. Lots of people had a bite or two. And of course, not just one person enjoyed a few of those calories that were there. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Tomorrow we have a fascinating lady who is going to be our guest. Her name is Brooke Carey. She was the first prison warden, female prison warden, I believe in California. Her book is called The Accidental Warden, a delightful lady, a fascinating story, and it even involves the Manson family. Have you heard about those interesting characters? Well, we're going to be hearing more tomorrow. And then we're going to be talking more about money. Today we're talking about young people. Well, on Wednesday we'll be talking with Jeff Harris. We're going to be talking about those of us who, when we think we might want to retire, how we can look at retiring with money in our pockets. That's true. I know we've had some pretty ugly situations that have evolved for hundreds of thousands of people in this country just recently. But let's see what we can do to turn things around. So Jeff Harris is going to give us some insight. And then, if you, like me, are always interested in the green information and what can we do to purify water, what can we do to make our world a healthier place, well, Lono Ho'ala is going to be my guest on Thursday. His material is titled Don't Drink the Water. And this is a man who has a tremendous background in understanding water pollution, what we can do to take care of it, etc. And I think you're going to find his information fascinating. And then on Friday, we have got a James Bond of James Bond, but he's the real thing and he's Greek. His name is Helios Dandoulakis. And this gentleman I've had the privilege of talking with, we're going to be talking about how he was trained by the United States to be a spy. This is a very gracious man, but oh, his story is not make-believe. It is the real thing, and I got an email from him this morning, and there is a movie that's going to be made about his life, and also that will give some information about his brother. Both he and his brother were trained to be spies during the Second World War. So this is the real thing. This is not make-believe. And in fact, the material was only declassified 2 years ago, and that enabled him to be able to write his story. Lots of good stuff here. Fascinating people. So I do hope you'll join us and also tell your friends to be a part of the listening audience. We have so many wonderful people in this world. I want to share with you, yesterday I was with friends, and we went up to Mount Rainier, which if you, wherever you are in the country or in the world, ever have an opportunity to visit this magnificent state of Washington, I would say make sure you go to see this magnificent mountain. And she is everything that I don't know that you can use enough words to describe her. She's just absolutely awesome. And yesterday was a picture-perfect day. I'm sure photographers were just feeling like they were in their glory. But now on Mount Rainier, they're starting something that is just brand new. They're taking people up the mountain by shuttles instead of enabling so many to go up and park. And they're really concerned about the ecosystem, and they're wanting to make sure that there's not so much of a footprint being left by the millions of people that visit her every year. So we were able to go up there. And when you're in that kind of an environment and you're watching these stupendous waterfalls that are created by the snow that has melted from winter. They had over 700 inches of snow that they were able to measure up on Mount Rainier. And all of this is melting. It's coming down. We've had some beautiful weather here. And so consequently, the glaciers, you're able to see these glaciers. And you look at this mountain and you look at some of the history that this mountain has gone through. And it's amazing to find out that she's relatively new. There's other areas of mountain range that are like 50 million years old. And Mount Rainier, she's a youngster. She's only a million and a half or something like this. She hasn't even gotten enough wrinkles. She's not old enough to have wrinkles. But she is a beautiful, beautiful mountain. And when you're up there, you have all of these wildflowers that are out. But we had marvelous experiences seeing wild animals up there. And they don't bother you. They are just out there. We had foxes that were so close you could almost touch them. Beautiful creatures. And we had deer, there were elk, there was bear, but mama bear and her babies just weren't conveniently around, thank you very much. But there were all kinds of critters that were there. It makes you aware of a world that when you're a city dweller, you don't necessarily see very much of. And it's really fun to take your kids to an environment like that. So I invite you, if you should find yourself in this beautiful state, take time to visit some of these national parks, because they really give you an insight as to what went on to create all of the beauty that we have around us and really how fragile it is. And Mount Rainier is an active volcano. Yes, she's very active. So you have films that you can see. There's all kinds of things that are going on. But you know what's even more fun is all of the people you get to meet. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about prisons. We're going to be talking about the First Lady Warden in the state of California. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. It's a good day to be alive, and I hope you will just smile at everybody you meet today. It's good to be able to do that. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.